Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here this morning as one family in Jesus. Lord, we confess that life can make us feel scattered at times and isolated, even perhaps fragile. But we know that in you and through one another, we find strength and we find joy. Lord, as we open up your word this morning, teach us. Teach us, Lord, about the beauty of community, the kind of fellowship that truly reflects what your heart is. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us today. Push me out of the way and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Well, you got some notes if you wanted to take notes. Okay, well, good morning. We're back on our spiritual disciplines series. Thank you for obliging me last week to talk about the chaos in the world that we needed to kind of confront. But today we're going to be talking about community, and what a better day to do that than on Back to Church Sunday, where community is kind of the paramount of what this weekend is all about. So, with that, I have here a pencil. Has anybody ever tried to break a pencil? What happens when I try to break it? I know what you're thinking. Okay, you can break that because you're a bodybuilder, okay? Obviously, I know what you're thinking, okay? So this is me, right? Let's just say for sake of argument that this represents me, right? Just me doing things on my own, not trying to do anything in community or with church or with you, nothing, okay? And now this is me with you in community, right? Now I'm just going to prove that I'm not a bodybuilder, right? Because you can't, and I'm really trying to be honest with you, you can't break it because it's all bound together in community. Right, everything is together in community. And if you're not impressed with my massive strength, maybe you like Legos. We look at Legos, right? And there was a magnet in there too, so I don't know what that means. So all this represents all of us, right? You've seen me do Lego illustrations before. This is nothing new. I just do it because it's fun and I want to play while I'm preaching. But this represents us, right? This is nothing by ourselves. We can't do anything by ourselves. When we start building something, just so happens that these are the same colors. Yeah. But as we build, things become stronger, right? We start building a community together, and things are much stronger. So this is what today's all about, is community, right? We can't do anything on our own, especially when we're, you know, really focusing on what the gospel says. We cannot do it alone. Trust me, I've tried, failed miserably. Perhaps you have done the same thing. But this demonstrates the truth that we're going to talk about today, right? The truth, which is community. You know, the American dream promises that if you just work hard enough, you can make it on your own, right? We see that all over the place. It doesn't matter where you look. You know, if you just work hard enough, you can do everything on your own. But God has a different design for his people. He created us for community. He created us for community. And I think you know that. We've talked about this in the past as well. But that's how what we're going to discover today is how God created us for community. And it's when we're going to go all the way back to the beginning and show, like, from the very beginning, God didn't want aloneness in our life. But we're going to start in Acts chapter 2. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and all held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to the meeting together in the temple and broke bread from the house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. Every day the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. So this passage comes right after Peter, his sermon on the day of Pentecost, right, where they had, 3,000 people were added to the church. People were just continued to be added. But what does Luke doesn't say? He doesn't tell us that people got saved and then went home, right? Like, okay, cool, check the box, and now I'm going to head out. No, that's not what he says. These new believers immediately formed a community. Or they formed a community because they recognized that they can't do it on their own. They needed a community together. And this isn't new. Like I said, Genesis chapter 2, when God looked at Adam and he said, "Then the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him." So think about that. So even in the before sin entered the world, when everything in creation was good except aloneness, even in a perfect world, isolation wasn't part of God's plan. Even in the beginning. And Jesus, of course, modeled community. In Matthew chapter 10, he wrote, summoning his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to heal every disease and sickness. Now, we all agree that he could have just done all of this on his own, right? Jesus could have done all of this on his own, but no, he recognized the importance of community, so he enlisted the help of his disciples to go out and do some things for him as part of a community. It is so critically important. Apostle Paul echoes this throughout his letters in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, we're not meant to be lone rangers, right? You know, ride on the horse. We're part of a body, and bodies don't function well when parts are separated, right? I mean, you can think of that in a ton of different, you know, contexts, right? I mean, if you work at a job that requires, you know, some level of like teamwork or whatever, your task is not going to go well if you're not working well together. In the same way, as followers of Jesus, if we are not part of a community, things are not going to go as well as they certainly could have. So what does true community look like? We're going to break it down. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now the text says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now devoted means that they were steadfastly committed. Right? Steadfastly committed. They were absolutely devoted to the teaching in community. In community. They understood that, you know, their spiritual growth required some level of community. You know, there's a saying that says you can't grow what you don't know. You can't grow what you don't know, right? So when we come together in a community, and our Wednesday study was a perfect example. Right? Everybody came. I mean, we talked the entire time about salt. That's what we talked about. We talked about salt during our study. And what does that mean? And everybody brought in a different perspective and kind of what they thought they were talking about in that particular single verse of what it meant to be the salt. That's what happens when we're in community. We hear different perspectives. We understand things a little bit differently. We're able to kind of digest information a little bit easier, a little quicker, a little differently that if we just sat, you know, and sitting alone and reading the word, there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But when we come together in community, we get a little stronger. We're a little stronger. That's why those small groups or Bible studies or Sunday schools are so vital. When we study God's word together, we gain insights we might miss on our own. Proverbs 27:17, right? Iron sharpens iron, right? When we're together and we're in community together and we're studying together, we sharpen each other. You know, I remember when I first started studying the book of Romans, and I get to Romans 8:28. Everybody familiar with that verse? If you're not, we know all things work together for the good, right? All things, like, when you think about that without really studying it that much, all things work together for the good, like, how is that even possible? How is that possible? You know, bad things happen all the time. How is that good, right? How did, you know, X, Y, and Z happen, which was terrible? How is that going to be something that is good? It's impossible to even wrap our minds around that. So I was stuck on this particular verse, you know, as we were going through our study, our small group. You know, people would talk about how this particular verse helped them get through a really difficult medical diagnosis. Or, you know, somebody who lost a job, how this particular verse helped them through the, you know, the chaos of not having, you know, an income coming in. And then you, when you start hearing these stories and you know, the scripture comes alive, and then you hear the stories that support what the scriptures are saying, then you understand, right? But that only happened in community. It only happened in community. Second thing, they devoted themselves to fellowship. Now, before you start thinking about what we're going to be doing after service, you know, having, you know, breaking bread together and all that stuff, that is true. But what they're talking about here is the Greek word koinonia, which means more than just hanging out together. Koinonia means sharing life in common, participating together in something bigger than yourselves. It's about vulnerability, authenticity. It's about being real with each other in community, being absolutely real. You know, go back to our small group, you know, we actually had a person who lost his job, but he was too embarrassed. Right? He didn't want to talk about it. He wanted to try to figure it out all on his own. And this is what's cool about community. We didn't care. Like, we cared about him, but we didn't care that he wanted to not talk about it, because we, as his community, wanted to help him. We wanted to love on him. We wanted to pray for him. And, you know, what was interesting is, you know, somebody comes from your community saying, I just lost my job. What happens is all of a sudden, God and the way God does his thing, because he's so rad, was like, hey, I got a guy, or I know a guy who's looking for something that kind of would work well with your skill set. So, you know, job, you know, opportunities would just kind of start flowing in through our small group, right? And our small group would deliver meals to them. We would help pay with, you know, help with some of their bills. Like, God showed up and showed off, and we were just the vessel. We were just able to do that through community. Galatians 6:2 says, carry one another's burden, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, here's the thing. You can't carry someone's burden if you don't know what it is. And you won't know what it is unless there's real fellowship, the kind where masks come off and the heart opens up. In other words, being real with your community, right? Just getting together and being real with your community. Going to verse 46 of Acts 2. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. They were devoted to the breaking of bread and prayer. They gathered in the temples and homes. What were they doing? They were praising God. Worshiping isn't a solo activity. That's why corporate worship is so important. Coming together. And something powerful happens when believers worship together. Individual worship is important. Corporate worship has this unique dynamic. When we sing together, we pray together and celebrate God's goodness together, our faith is strengthened and God is glorified in a special way. See all that? When we sing together, when we pray together, when we celebrate God's goodness together, our faith is strengthened and God is glorified in a special way. When we are together, when we are in community together. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but have you ever tried to do something or, you know, maybe even worship God on your own, whatever it is? Now, I've had some amazing encounters with God, just me and Him, just worshiping on my own. But I can tell you, when I have done it in community, it sometimes just feels like exponentially more powerful. Because we are together, we are worshiping. You know, when two or more are gathered in His name, there He is. There's so much happening when we are together. But again, even when we're alone, we still feel that power. But there's just it just hits different when we're together. It just hits different. Hebrews chapter 10 says, "And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You know, we've noticed that people are consistently in worship, generally speaking, tend to have a little bit of a stronger faith. Because when we're together, go back to Proverbs 27, right? Iron sharpens iron. When we are together, we become stronger. Just like when we look at the pencils, when we're together, it's nearly impossible for a very amazing bodybuilder to break, right? It's difficult. When we are together, we are much stronger together. They cared for each other. Going to verse 44 of Acts 2. "Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved." Now, before you begin to freak out, I'm not going to ask you to go and sell all of your possessions and then give it to somebody else. Right? That's not what we're asking here. But what we're showing is voluntary generosity. And they're just volunteering to be generous, right? And we have a track record of volunteering to be generous in this church. Each one of you have done something to show incredible generosity to our community. You know, I'm really proud of this church. You know, when things happen, you know, take for example Jeannie, she's a manager at a different Dollar General now, but who she lost her daughter, right? Just a few weeks ago. And what happened? We as a body, as a community, said, okay, this is a tragedy and we need to do something. So what do? We, you know, Brandy and Joe started rallying the troops and Tammy and we just started making dinners for them, right? And delivering them to, I mean, they both her and her husband worked until like 11 o'clock at night or whatever, but we would just deliver it to their teenage daughter at their house, and they would have dinner waiting for them when they got home from work. I mean, that's what community does. We see a need, and we go and we do something about it because we love. Right? We have this amazing love for the people in our community, and that's what it looks like. It's making a meal. It's you know, babysitting. It's whatever it is to show the love for other people. 1 John 3 puts it this way: For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. So what are some of the challenges that we face when we try to build community? You know, building biblical community is not easy. It's not very easy. It can be a challenge. We have different personalities, right? Trying to build this community, and we can all believe in the same God and the same Bible and everything, but we could still have some challenges creating this community. Why? Because there's a challenge of individualism, right? We just look in this world, in this culture, and you know, being an individual is, that's what it's all about, right? But that's not what we, as followers of Jesus, this church, this community, that's not what we want. We want to be part of this bigger community of Jesus. This individualism is just a toxic to community. When everyone is trying to appear that they have it all together, no one gets the help they need, and no one gets the joy of being used by God to help others. Right? No one gets the help they need. And equally as important, we don't get the joy of God using us to help others. The joy, right? That's what, in community, that's what it's like. When we go out and we help other people, you know, whatever it is, maybe it's just me, but I think it's a lot of you as well. When we do something like that, you get an incredible amount of joy. You know why that is? It's because we're in community loving our neighbor. We're loving our community. We're showing the light and love of Jesus as we go and do things. Now, who's busy here? Anybody have a pretty solid schedule? Pretty jam-packed schedule? Mine kind of looks like Tetris, right? You're going to have to figure out what fits in a particular day or hour, right? That's another thing that challenges community is we're all so busy. We have activities with our kids. We have, you know, house responsibilities, work responsibilities, family responsibilities. We have all of these different things, and it makes it into a challenge. If community is just something that we try to squeeze in when it's convenient, then it will never happen. Right, really, and that's the case for anything that we would like to do. If we just don't make the time, if we don't really make a commitment to have this community, then it's not going to happen. It will not happen at all. Maybe the challenge of past hurts, right? I know there's been plenty of people that have been hurt by the church, right? Maybe not this one particularly, but the church universal, right? In previous churches, they've been hurt, so they don't want to be in community because they're just holding on to that past hurt. And that's a challenge. Surface level relationships. All right, on Sunday mornings, you know, we shake hands, we hug, we say, how are you doing? And if that's where it stops, then that's just going to be a surface level relationship. That's not going to be deep-rooted, beautiful community that we're looking for, that koinonia type of community. And what are some benefits? We've already talked about it, right? Iron sharpens iron, being together. Our faith is strengthened. Critical. Provides encouragement. You know, when we're together, it's difficult to break us, right? When we pray together, when we worship together, when we are just together, when we're serving the community together, all of that sharpens us, and it also makes it really hard to break us. Very, very difficult to break us. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says, "And if someone overpowers one person, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily broken." Now, I use that, not a lot, but I use that a fair amount when I'm officiating weddings. You know, because the people will look at it as, you know, one person might be able to be overpowered, two might be able to resist, but a cord of three strands cannot be broken. So we have husband, wife, God, boom, you can't touch him, right? The same is true when we're talking about community. There's strength in numbers. You know, think about a single mom who was struggling with her son's rebellion. Right, I think that, you know, they're failing as a parent or whatever, but during our small group, what happened? There's a bunch of people that have had teenage kids before. At the time, I didn't, so I was just soaking in, okay, what do I expect? I think Gabe was like 1, 2 maybe, but I just knew he was going to be one of those kids because I know who his dad is. But the community, our small group, would rally around her. And they'd be like, "Hey, I had my kid, you know, was when he was 13 or 14 or whatever. This is what happened. Really exactly what you're going through with your child. And guess what? We had people come around and just kind of just cover us in prayer and wisdom and guidance and all these different things." And so that's what they did, and that's what we did with this woman. I mean, I didn't have a whole lot to offer. I mean, I had a kid that was, basically still in diapers, but I could pray. I know what I was like when I was her kid's age, so I'd be like, "Yeah, let me tell you what he's probably thinking right now." So as we came into a community, we just helped. And she said if it wasn't for her community, if it wasn't for her small group, she's not sure what would have happened. But now her son is far, far outside of college. He graduated college, and he not only has an amazing relationship with his mom, but he has an amazing relationship with Jesus because community, because the Holy Spirit worked in that moment, in that community. Community accelerates spiritual growth. We talked about Proverbs 27, iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens another. I mean, I see that all the time, and I really, 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 really see it when we're together on Wednesdays. When we're together on Wednesdays doing our Bible study. Now, life is full of challenges that are much easier to tackle when we have a community, when we have help. Moving into a new house. I remember when Matt and I moved into our current house, you know, the old church that we were at, their entire youth group came and they unloaded our U-Haul in like a matter of, I don't know, it's probably less than an hour. It was awesome because of community. James 2 says, "If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and if one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, stay warm, and be well fed,' but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it?" Real love shows up with practical help, not just good wishes. It shows up with practical help. Now again, we have this down to a science. We have this down to a science. I mean, you guys are awesome at doing this. You know, I remember when, you know, when we found out Michaela was pregnant, you know, what happened? Brandy's like, "Okay, cool. Congratulations on being pregnant. What day works for you to have a baby shower?" Like, didn't ask, like, "Wait, we're going to celebrate you because we're a community and we love you." That was awesome. Community offers joy and celebrations. Now, life isn't all struggles, right? I mean, sometimes it feels like it. You might be in a season right now where it feels like you're just struggling nonstop, that things just keep punching you in the face left and right. Romans 12 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You know, when people get engaged to be married, we rejoice with them. When they, you know, we'll have like a surprise. This is a previous group. We'll have a surprise party for their engagement. When somebody's daughter graduated from nursing school, we would go to celebrate the graduation. When somebody was, you know, announced their pregnancy, we would have a baby shower. When somebody's cancer results came back clean, we rejoiced and wept because we were so excited, because prior to that we were so concerned. So these moments of shared joy not only create bonds that last a lifetime, but they help strengthen our community when we are together. So how can we do this community thing? Start small. Start small, but be consistent. You know, start with one or two people. You know, chat with them. Hang out. And maybe we'll go back to our busy life. Maybe it's, hey, you know, I have to go to my son's or daughter's, you know, soccer game. You want to go to the soccer game and you know, watch? And then we can kind of chat during the game. So let's fit it into our schedule instead of waiting until we have an opening in our schedule, because I know for a fact if I waited until I had an opening in my schedule, I would be able to do nothing else than what's on my schedule. So we have to make it work. Be vulnerable first. When someone asks how you're doing, I mean, I don't. If somebody asks me, this is almost my go-to, how's it going? I'll always say, living the dream, even if I'm living in a nightmare, because nightmares are dreams too, that's what I say, right? But be real, be vulnerable. If you're not doing well, tell them you're not doing well. That helps your community pray very specifically and focused and help you in very tangible ways. Look for ways to serve. Make your home available. I'm just kind of breezing through these. I want to honor your time. Practice the one another commands. So that's in your bulletin. Practice one another commands. Love one another, John 13. Encourage one another, 1 Thessalonians. Bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6. Confess your sins to one another, James 5. Pray for one another, James 5. And serve one another, Galatians 5. Pick one of these commands and focus on practicing it intentionally. I'm not saying you got to practice all of them at the same time. Just one. Just pick one. Overcome obstacles. We talked about being too busy, right? Don't wait for your calendar to open. Create an opening. You've been hurt before. I get it. So have I. But God is still on the throne. You have a community that loves you. Now you go and create that community for others. I'm not good at making friends. Okay. I feel like you're talking to me, little sermon, right? Amanda is amazing at making friends. People look at me and think I'm a serial killer. True story, so Amanda's grandma brought us all to England in 2017. No joke. My beard was maybe like this long at that time. She asked Amanda, I'm not even kidding, do you think Jeremy could shave his beard? Because I don't want him to get, you know, tagged as a terrorist or whatever. I'm like, what? So maybe I'm not good at making friends because I look like a terrorist, according to my 93-year-old grandma-in-law, or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. But Amanda can make friends all day long, and then I'll just latch onto them, and then we'll hang out and usually annoy them. But if you're not good at making friends, start small. Start small. Find that one person that you can connect with, that you can start community with. If you don't know where to start, start today. We're going to have some fellowship time out after this service, if I can ever shut up. Start there. Right? I know we all don't know each other in very amazing and beautiful, intimate ways. Let's get rid of the surface level stuff and let's really get to know each other. And there's something important in our passage of Acts 2:47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Now in this Acts 2:47, we see that their authentic community became a powerful witness to the surrounding culture. That their authentic community became a powerful witness to the surrounding culture. There it is. Right? When we are in community together, when we show the love of Jesus, when we are show the light and love of Jesus, not only within our community are we strengthened, but we are now a witness, a powerful witness to the surrounding culture. And I think you can agree with me that the culture, in light of the past 2 weeks, needs to see the light and love of Jesus Christ. And all this is true. All this is still true today. In this divided world that we're living in, you know, it's not about, you know, what your name is or what your hobbies are. It's, you know, what political party are you affiliated with, or you know, how do you do this or how do you do that? I mean, there's so much division. Let us be, how about Grace Fellowship Church in Burlington? How about we go and be the light and love of Jesus in our community to show that he is worth it? John 13 says, by this everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, our love for each other isn't just being nice. It's evangelistic, right? It's showing Jesus to everybody. You know, think about a guy named Jake. This is an illustration. He was a young professional who started visiting a church because his coworker invited him. Jake wasn't particularly interested in Christianity, but he was intrigued by the relationships he observed. He saw how the people of the church rallied around each other during difficulties, celebrated each other's successes, and genuinely seemed to enjoy being together. Jake kept coming not because he was convinced by theology, but because he wanted what he saw in the community. Over time, as he experienced authentic Christian love, his heart became open to the gospel. Today, Jake is not only a believer, but a small group leader who helps others experience the same transforming community that drew him to Jesus. Community drew him in. Community kept him there. Community allowed the gospel message to pierce his heart. Community helped him recognize that he needed a relationship with Jesus. Community. Now, all of that is obviously because of the power of the Holy Spirit, but it was the community that was the vessel the Holy Spirit used to pierce his heart with the truth. So, back where we started with the old pencils, I don't know, I'm just really enjoying these pencils for some reason, right? Alone, we are fragile, we're easily broken, but together, in community, we are much, much stronger. Absolutely. We're bound together in authentic Christian community, the one that he created us for. We're unbreakable. Now, here's the last point in your, I think it's the last one in your in your notes. Community isn't optional for the Christian life. It's essential. It's essential. It's absolutely critical. It's vital. We must have community. The world is watching how we love, not just because of what happened a couple weeks ago, a week ago, not even well before any of that. The world is watching how followers of Jesus treat others. Let us be, again, I mean, I'm happy to start this movement for North Dakota from this small little church in Burlington. It doesn't matter where it starts. It matters what we go out and do what we're supposed to do to show the light and love of Jesus. So let's be that kind of community that reflects the heart of God. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the gift of community. Thank you that you didn't leave us to struggle alone, but placed us in a family of faith. Lord, help us overcome the obstacles that keep us from those authentic relationships. Lord, give us the courage to be vulnerable. Give us the commitment to be consistent and the wisdom to love well. Father, use our community as a witness. We want to draw people to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.